Have you ever wondered why there's such a fuss around the gospel? Why is it called the good news? Why are Christians so hyped about it? And many more questions around the lines of forgiveness of sins and the gospel, then you are totally in the right place. This is the Jesus Tribe podcast, where we present the gospel in its simplicity and beauty to all who would listen. This current series is all about the gospel and answering any questions you might have around it. Best believe it will take you on an exciting journey to truth. Keep listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Jesus Tribe podcast. How are you doing? How is your day going? Or how did your day go? Depending on what time of the day you're listening to this. I hope you're well, and I hope you've had an amazing week since the last time you heard our voices. With me here is Daniel, as usual. Hi, Daniel. I think I need to stop even introducing you at this point because, of course, you're going to be here with me.
It's a surprise, you. But yeah, hi, Faith. Hi, everyone. It's good to be here. I think at the time of this recording, folks in the U.S. are preparing for Thanksgiving. So very, 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 very happy about that. But yeah, it's great to be here again.
Yeah, folks in Nigeria are just looking forward to December 1st. Nothing much.
To Mariah Carey, have yourself a merry little
Christmas. Yeah, I mean, we already have our streets, lit with Christmas lights. We already have all the stores selling Christmas trees and Christmas hampers and whatnot. For some reason, I'm actually very excited about this Christmas. I don't know. I'm quite excited.
Really? I mean, I've never really been particularly, unfortunately, excited. I mean, about the celebratory aspects, like the lights and the trees.
Yeah.
I think maybe because of the way we're raised, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do consider it a special.
Christmas literally is equal to you having the day home alone
and doing absolutely nothing. Honestly, that's all it was. No decorations, nothing.
Mm-hmm. And before anyone was like, decoration thing for 2 years.
It was totally fine. We had no problems with it.
It was literally the Christmas of our dreams. If you try to do anything other than leave us at home, it was going to be a problem. So we're fine. Okay?
Yeah. So I think apart from the spiritual significance, I really don't resonate much with the holiday season, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Well, I don't think it's sad. It's sad to some, but it's totally fine to me. But yeah.
I mean, but Daniel has plans for this Christmas, so that counts.
Who has plans?
You!
Well, but it's not exactly Christmas plans, so that's the thing, right? It's more...
It's just end of year plans, right?
Christmas is the only time everyone is on holiday. It's the time you can actually travel with friends. So we could have done it literally any other time. It really did not have much to do with the fact that it was exactly Christmas. It was just that, everyone is on break, so let's just go out and, So, I think the Christmas season made it possible for us to hang out with friends. It's not really a Christmas break. It's more chilling. End of year chilling. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. All right. So, if you guys have plans for Christmas, you can let us know in the comments. Tweet at us, hashtag Jesus.
Don't be like us. Really. Yeah, have plans.
Yes, please have plans.
Set up
please
your trees, plans. Set up your lights, and buy your presents.
Very important,
after
guys.
All,
buy
presents. That is what Christmas is about, right?
Yes, Daniel. Yeah. That is exactly what Christmas is about.
I beg to differ. Anyways, yeah.
So yeah, we'll actually have a Christmas special podcast. This is me putting Daniel on the spot because we haven't spoken about this, but we definitely would. Well,
yeah, should be. Yeah, should be.
Yeah,
it's doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving right into the podcast or the subject for today. Last week we started the topic that we tagged on your left, which is basically us examining and looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why it's such a big deal and why, you know, it's really significant and cardinal to our faith, you know, as Christians. And moving right into, so basically we ended on the note of us speaking about four reasons, right, why we think or why we believe as Christians that
the resurrection is undisputable, or just basically facts to back up the resurrection of Jesus, because there's a lot of, you know, contention around it, like, oh, how can you say that a man died and then rose again? Like, that's rubbish. That's, you know, who jazzed you people? For our international audience, jazz basically is what now? Charm?
Voodoo, dark know what charm magic, is? Whatever, yeah, you exactly call it.
So it's like, that's what it sounds. It's pretty ridiculous to claim that someone literally rose from the dead. So what we're going to be doing in this episode is looking at a few reasons why, beyond a shadow of doubt, this man Jesus actually rose from the dead. So jumping right into it with the first reason, the power.
Before then, I just want to just talk a bit about just a little bit of recap as to what we did last time. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much just started off to show why the idea of the resurrection is a big deal for Christians and should be, yeah, because for some it might not be a big deal. And this goes into where you start to have discussions with people who say that, oh, all religions are the same. And the truth is, while that might be a very popular claim in today's pluralistic and relativist world, it's not exactly true, right? Because for instance, for the Christian, at the core of his belief, more than just, oh, do good, love your neighbor, as a lot of people wrongly think Christianity is all about, the core of our faith is that God came in man to do what man could not do for themselves. Right. By man, I mean, yeah, humankind, right? I don't, before, is it just man? I mean humankind, which was, we could not meet up with the moral standards of God. And so God in his love took upon flesh and died. And in his resurrection, right, not only guarantees that indeed we have been forgiven, but also guarantees that there is a world and a hope to look forward to after death. So Christianity is more than just doing good deeds. It's faith in the resurrection of Jesus. You contrast that with probably maybe the second largest religion in the world right now, which is Islam. And the very crux of Islam says that it is the greatest, is it shirk or so, the greatest sin to say that God became a man. That's already in the foundations of Islam. Or you'd see things like, oh, Jesus actually, the prophet Jesus, was never actually crucified. It was someone else. And so he just went up to heaven. So Islam already denies the incarnation, denies the death, and so by implication denies the resurrection.
The resurrection.
Three things which are pretty much the core of what makes someone Christian. So it's then you get to Judaism, which already even says that nope, Jesus is not in any way the Messiah. And then you get to maybe Hinduism, which becomes more pantheistic in nature and talks about rebirth and karma. So you can't exactly say that all religions are the same, whereas pertaining to the identity of who Jesus is as the Son of God and the only hope for humankind, every religion seems to differ. So it's a very, very, it's wrong to think that way. And so for we being Christians on this podcast, if you did not know, I hope the name Jesus Tribe gave it away.
hopefully.
We're just pretty much trying to explain that at the heart of the gospel is the resurrection. And like Faith rightly said, we're going into this episode primarily to present reasons why we think it makes sense to believe that the resurrection did happen. Of course, there's only so much you can say in a 20-minute podcast. And there are many, and I mean there are, you could spend the rest of your life going deep into these things. There are scholars on both camps. I mean, people against the resurrection, people for the resurrection.
Yeah.
And each point in the resurrection, there are people who have devoted their entire lives to studying this. But what we are hoping to try and do in the next few minutes, I just present things to think about that would hopefully get you started on the journey to seeing why we, as Christians, have logical and good reason, not just even just logical, but actually good reasons to think about as to why we believe that the man Jesus actually rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Daniel. And just before we even go into that, I'm just, you know, a bit led to just emphasize what Daniel mentioned about how this is literally us scratching the surface. It can't even be classified as a summary because this body of work is what, like Daniel said, people have dedicated years and years and their entire lives basically to it. And so, and it's one thing that we see that is really common. A lot of people have questions, but not everyone is ready to do the work to find the answers. So if you happen to have these questions, please, right, when you listen to this podcast, don't think that it's enough to, like, it's enough for, if you find your answer here, we're glad and we're happy that you would, but most likely you would need to read some more on your own. And if you want us to point you in the right direction, you can send us a DM and we would
I could just even put it out there now. I think a book that comes to mind is The Case for Christ. Another one would be Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I think those two books would be amazing starting points. If you want to talk about persons, I know Dr. William Lane Craig is one of the leading people on the subject of the resurrection, so he would also be an amazing, I think you could either check him on YouTube, on Instagram, Reasonable Faith. Amazing content there. So yeah, that yes. helpful as well.
So if after going through all of these you still, which I reckon that you probably would, you would want to have a conversation with an actual person about this, then like we always say on every episode, please shoot us a DM and set up a meeting and, you know, have a chat over it. But please don't stop here. Let your search for truth continue, objectively, of course. So, yeah, moving right into it. The first reason that we're going to be looking at today is the disciples and the first Christians, right? And then if you follow us on Instagram, you've seen this on Monday, put out on Monday. And basically what the idea is this: Jesus Christ had a bunch
at Jesus Tribe.
Yeah. You know, Jesus Christ had a bunch of disciples, 11, because you know, betrayer guy, right? You know, 11 disciples, right? And so before we went ahead, we actually asked the question. So now listen and answer this question objectively. Would you be willing to die to preserve the reputation of or a secret of a friend? So let's say, I don't know how many of you watch Blacklist, right? So there's something called, I think it's the N10. I feel like I'm saying this wrong. If I am, I'm sorry. I'm not good with movies and series. But I think there's something called the N10 or something, or N16. And this guy literally has killed a lot of people just to preserve the identity of who this person is, right? And is that important to him? So are you able to die to preserve the reputation or the secret of a friend, right? Maybe you are, maybe you're not, depending on who the person is to you, right? So that's fine, that makes sense, right? But then if you now go ahead and you realize that this person's secrets that I'm willing to die to keep, this guy was lying, if this secret is not true, are you still willing to do anything? Or at that point you're like, Insta blog, come and hear, this person is a scam, a sham and whatnot, and you basically expose the person. Are you still willing to die for that person? So now at this point, I don't know that anybody is still willing to die, but let's even go further. All right, if the death is not as if they will just shoot you once and you just die,
it will, or maybe like, they will, so just let's play right little game.
Something really slow, torturous and painful for something that is a lie. Are you really still willing to do that? Right? So, I said all of that to say this. The disciples of Jesus Christ, most of them, and the early Christians, went through insane torture. And guys, the torture back then is not the torture now. Back then, it was torture. Nobody sent anybody. You're going to die slow and painful, right? And they did all of that. Why? Just because they refused to denounce that this man, Jesus Christ, actually died and rose again. So if he was a lie, why would they put their lives at stake? Why would they put their reputation, their family, their possession, every single thing that they held dear to them, why would they let everything go just to preserve this man, Jesus, if he was a lie, right? So because they claimed that they had seen Jesus and they really had seen him, they're like, no, if you want to do your worst, I saw this thing. You're not going to make me a liar simply because you want me to deny something that I saw with my eyes, right? So they saw it and they believed it and they preached it to their last, to their dying breath, and they died for it. So no one is stupid enough to do all of these things just for a lie. So it begs you to think further. If these people went through this stuff, was it really a lie? You know?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's usually, this is one of the starting points when we start to talk about discussing the resurrection. All you have to do is just take a look into church history and you see the amount of torture and suffering, right? Not just even physically, but even socially, economically. Many times they were regarded as scum by society, and these were people who were willing to do all this on the testimony.
I mean, they couldn't walk really, they would have to hide underground, send spies to get food. That's crazy.
On the assumption that some people had seen the risen Jesus. And again, I've discussed with, and I've listened to atheists who probably say, well, it doesn't mean that, that's not in itself, it's not enough proof that Jesus rose from the dead, that it just means they saw. And I might give you that fact. I might give you that, okay, yes, that alone might not be, but at least you should be honest enough to tell it to concede that does mean that they saw something. Before we get into, was it actually Jesus physically raised from the dead? And for that, we'll probably have to talk about the New Testament, the validity of the Gospels, which we're going to get into, right? Trust us, this is a long journey that started in truth, and we have a lot more to cover. But on the surface, just reading those accounts, if it was anything else, you would admit that, yes, these people had to have seen something. These people had to have seen something. And what they claimed they saw, remember, this was not just, even just the 11. It was not just the 11. You read 1 Corinthians 15, and you see Paul tell that he appeared to over 400 people, right? And these are people that formed the core of the first Christian movement. And it's like William Lane Craig says, that the simple fact that the Christian fellowship founded on belief in Jesus' resurrection came into existence and flourished in the very city he was executed and buried is powerful evidence for the historicity of the early tomb. And I completely agree with him. The fact that people who saw him die, who literally lived their lives with him, imagine someone, it's like an investment, right? Imagine someone tells you, oh, put all your money, I would 20% return every month, right? And you go ahead, you sell everything you have, and you put it in, and then let's say first year, second year, and in the third year, this person vanishes. How many of you would go around still telling people that, oh, this is an honest guy, you can trust him? Of course not. You've lost. Unless you are part of plan, and even then, that means you had something to gain. That's the only reason. But put it in the case of disciples who lost everything, and they were not exactly rich as a result of the resurrection. They were not exactly respected in society.
If anything, it makes they lost no sense. More.
Yes, it's amazing to think about what they did. But yeah, that's the very first reason. Faye, do you want to talk about the second, or should I go ahead?
I think you can start. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the second one, following closely from the quote we just talked about, is the fact that there was a missing body, right? I think that's as simple as it gets. One of the easiest ways to prove that the resurrection story was a lie was to simply find the body of Jesus and parade him on the streets of Jerusalem. And say, like, see this ridiculous people, isn't this the guy you're saying is dead? And we look through history and we see the Pharisees, who were reputable people in society, had influence, had wealth, It would not have taken anything for them to conduct a search, for them to interrogate, all to find the body. But what we see recorded is that they were charged to stop spreading the story. There was no point in time where we see that they're like, oh, where is the body? No, where? None of that, for some reason. And you think about that, that wouldn't have that have been the first line of action. If someone starts to tell you that someone who died 3 days ago is alive, the first thing you would want to do is go to the gravesite, is dig up the body and say, you see, you're clearly making a mistake. But we have no record of Jesus's body ever being found, despite the fact that the location of his death was public knowledge. And again, for some, we see pushbacks to this. What some people would call, for instance, the swoon theory, that Jesus probably never died. He was just severely wounded and passed out, and then maybe he woke up later. But we forget that he was still going to have to roll open a tomb from the inside. How is he going to do that?
A severely wounded, heavily injured,
severely injured, and then surrounded by healthy Roman guards. I don't know what reality you're living in, but if you believe that is more plausible than a resurrection, then
you have
I honestly do not know.
Strong Christian.
I think there's some bias if you would rather believe that. There's also the idea that, perhaps the disciples stole his body. But again, we see that if that was the case, the Roman guards had to do was either report, but don't forget, these are trained soldiers armed with swords and shields.
Trained Roman soldiers, not just any type of soldiers.
The leading empire at that time, against 11 fishermen. Some fishermen, some tax collectors, people that had not been trained
and
to fight
war. And not all 11 of them, anyways, who were there, went to the graveside to roll the stone.
Let's say it wasn't even recorded and there's something there. If you believe that they would rather win that fight in the night, and while they are fighting, some are rolling the tomb, then they carry the body, then they close it back, so much so that they even fold the sheets and all of that, get out of that alive, and nothing like that broke out. No story of the fight, and in the place of torture, not one of them was like, oh wow, you know what, I'm done with this flogging. This is what we did. This is how we orchestrated it. This is where the body is. Just let me go. We don't see anything like that. It makes it clear that the story of the body being stolen or not being actually dead doesn't really hold enough ground for it to even fly as an acceptable hypothesis. Faith, anything to add to that?
No, I think so that we don't drag this podcast to 30 minutes. You said a lot, and we'll just run through to the next one. The third reason, and I like this a lot, is actually the conversion of skeptics. Now, I'm trying to think of a great illustration before I, run right into it. So, you know how when maybe we're in primary school, right? And let's say you had a friend, and this friend maybe got into trouble or something with the teacher and she sent him out, but you know that your friend was innocent and it was all a ploy or a plan or something. I don't know that it's a very good example, but if they send your friend out, if you saw that this is not what happened, you were there and you're supposed to bear your friend witness, or maybe at a court of law, you would uphold your friend's integrity because you saw what happened, right? There's no need. That's not a great example. So let me just go straight into the conversion of the skeptics. If the people that supported Jesus while he was alive supported him after his death, that's fine. We expect them to still support him, right? Because they're supporters of Jesus Christ. But what begs a bigger question is if people who were openly against this man, Jesus, people who were openly persecuting the followers of Jesus, who attacked the church, attacked the Christian faith and everything related to it, all of a sudden turn around, and say, now we are propagating this gospel of Christ. And the biggest example in the Bible is the man Paul, right, who was you know, a devout Pharisee, and his life ambition, you know, was to stop the spread of Christianity. Now, it's easy to say, oh, you know, he was brainwashed, blah, blah, blah. Paul was a very educated man, multiple degrees and all of that, right? So you can't say he was brainwashed, because he's not stupid, he's not an illiterate that you'd say, oh, believe this and that, and he'll believe. He was a very wise man. He totally knew what he was doing, and he was openly persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. All right, and then he made a public switch, a sudden switch on what basis? On his way to a church to persecute them, he said he saw the man Jesus appear to him and speak to him, and that was all he needed to be convinced. And for the rest of his life, he became a member, a full member, and a leader among those people that he had once persecuted in his early life. Yeah. Right? That doesn't happen by chance or by accident. He had to have seen something, and what he had seen had to have been substance enough for him to change his stance without, you know, external convictions, right? So that's something worth thinking about. And another example would be James, one of Jesus's brothers, whom we were told in the Bible that he didn't believe in him while he was alive, and this same guy goes on to become a leader in the church. And we see examples like that even till today, but let's even leave current day examples out of it and just focus on what we have in the early church, right? You see examples like this, and you think to yourself, oh, if these people, you know, pursued violence or persecution so vehemently, what could have caused the change? And the only thing they would tell you is that they actually saw this person Jesus. It's not a ghost, yeah. It's not an angel, it's the man Jesus. So, you know, it's something worth thinking about. Then yeah, do you want to add something?
Yeah, there's a lot to say, honestly, on this topic. And like you said, just to bear the risk of ending on time, I've been in discussions where some people told me, or a person told me, that even if they saw Jesus, what guarantees that it was the physical body Jesus? Yeah. I just want to... Again, these are conversations, like I said, that people have spent hours and years of their lives discussing, and I feel bad trying to just brush it off in a few minutes. But like Faith has rightly said, that's not what we're doing. But simply giving everyone listening a few pointers to bear in mind. And if you want to debate or argue against this with us, that's totally fine. Just send in a message and we'll entertain a civil conversation, right? But again, these are Jews. The Jewish idea of the resurrection was not just some mystical, spiritual, floating in the sky image that appears to you, right? These were Pharisees. In fact, the very reason there was a difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in ghosts, angels, or the spiritual, and all of that. But that's the Sadducees. The Pharisees did believe in the supernatural and did believe in the resurrection. So much so that you see in the Bible, when Lazarus died, what did Martha, her sister, say? She said, I know I would see him on the day of the resurrection. So they knew that when there was a resurrection, it was the person coming back to life. Even though they might not have experienced it, that was their belief. So when you say that they saw Jesus, it was not some fancy idea in their mind. They knew what they were looking for to say that Jesus was raised from the dead. So much so that the very scriptures they used to quote were things like, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? That is clearly a rising from the dead in its literal sense, right? Another thing was, you see the idea of the first people that told the stories about the resurrection were women. And today, in today's gender equal feminist, of which I do support and push and advocate for gender equality, but we need to understand that the Bible was written by people who lived in different times. So don't just say, ah, who cares that women were the first ones? It means nothing to me. Well, that's fine. You are not 2,000 years old, right? But for someone who is 2,000 years old, who lived in ancient Middle East, right? It is a big deal to anchor your testimony on the words of women, because unfortunately, that was a society that was very patriarchal, so much so that they are counting people and they don't count women and children. They will just count the men. And that's enough to tell us how important the gathering was. If you say, oh, only one man was in attendance, we'll be like, they probably weren't doing anything meaningful with their lives right there, right? So for you to then say that the whole story of the resurrection was started from the testimony of three women, it is so countercultural for their day. It's almost like saying, we have nothing to hide, right? This is how it happened. Anyone who was trying to convince or whip up something fanciful will never hinge the authority or the accuracy of his testimony on the words of a few women. But moving on quickly to the final point is the power in the name. And I'm just going to talk about this very quickly, because we are people who not only do we believe in the gospel, we believe in God, we believe in the resurrection, but we also believe in the active work of God today. And so in the defense for God, we talked about the fact of miracles happening. And it's the same thing we're talking about again when we talk about the resurrection, right? Not only did they see him, but in the name of Jesus, right, we have seen countless testimonies. And this is not some subjective thing. If you read, even just for instance in the US, you read about the lives of people like F.F. Bosworth, right, or Oral Roberts, for instance, and medically verified miracles that were even carried on newspapers, right? We see things like that. I'm sure even growing up in Nigeria, and of course, again, you could say this is subjective, but we've talked about how because something is subjective doesn't make it wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And doesn't mean if a Jew is writing about the Holocaust, you don't say, it's subjective, I'm not going to listen to this. You're very mistaken. All right. So the fact that miracles, not only in history, but also today, happen in the name of Jesus, right, shows that there is power in that name. And if he was dead, there will not be power in the name, right? So we save this for the last, because for some people they might dismiss this, but I know there are other people who probably have also heard of testimonies or heard of miracles. And I would implore you, just like we did when we talked about the miraculous, not to just blow it off, but to take out time to actually listen and to actually investigate. Just because it's not a naturalistic event does not mean it's necessarily untrue. If not, you're already operating with a bias. Before I hand over to Faith, what the last thing I wanted to say is, I can't remember. All right, Faith, back to you. While you talk, maybe it'll come back to me, but back to you.
All right, so hopefully Daniel remembers what he wanted to say before I wrap up. Yeah. So to basically wrap up this episode, these are basically just a few reasons why, you know, we say that we believe the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news being Jesus died, he was dead for 3 days, and on the third day he resurrected. And because he did, we also have the same hope that when we die, it is not the end for us. We would resurrect, and we believe in life after death, life reigning eternally with Jesus Christ in glory, right? So that's the crux, the anchor, the cardinal point of our faith. And like we've mentioned and emphasized throughout this episode since last week, when you take that out, when you take out the resurrection from the Christian faith, there is no faith anymore, right? It doesn't exist, because then what are we believing in? What are we hoping for? Right. So I'll just read something verbatim from here that says that Jesus not only died for mankind, but proved that he was the real deal by rising from the dead. It had to be Jesus or no one else, because he was the only one qualified. And before we go into a stream of another topic entirely, I think we've actually covered this in the past when we talk about Jesus and why he was the right man for the job. You can go, I think it's 2 or 3 episodes back, so you listen to why it had to be Jesus and no one else. So yeah, We hope that you consider your position and, you know, you receive this in good faith with objective mind, like we always preach. And I guess Daniel hasn't remembered what he wanted to say, so we would end now.
Interestingly, great. I do. So yeah, I just wanted, it's also going to fit into our conclusion, actually. I just wanted to say that a lot of people don't believe the resurrection at face value because they already come from a naturalistic framework that, yeah, oh, dead people can't rise from the dead. Anything beyond what I can see is not possible. And like I said, ironically, it may seem that the Christian is actually more open-minded than the naturalist, because the naturalist already assumes a position on the world that isn't verified. There's a lot more to say about that. But if you already say, oh, only what is naturally investigative is real, you haven't proven that assertion, but you hold to it already. And so with that kind of mindset, when you are face to face with the resurrection, you would look for any other reason, no matter how illogical or improbable it is, just to get away from the resurrection. All we're simply saying is that coming from a position where we hold no such boundaries, all we do is simply try to reason out and look at the events that happened and make out what best explains the behavior of the apostles, what best explains the conversion of ardent skeptics, what best explains the missing body. When all of these things are properly and objectively considered, our position is that the resurrection best explains this. And if you want to take on any other position, what we're appealing is that you should consider all we've said and answer, does my position more accurately describe the events that happened 2000 years ago? Or am I just running to this because I do not want to deal with a naturalist, with a world where there is more than the natural, and I do not want to deal with the implication of the resurrection?
All right, that's a very great note to end on, and we say goodbye for now. See you next week. Thank you for sticking around till the end. If you have questions, you know what to do, and have a great night, morning, day, you know, whatever. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast. We are an organization aimed at presenting the gospel of Christ in its simplicity to everyone everywhere. If this podcast has stirred up any questions, please feel free to mail us at tribejesus@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook @JesusTribe to stay up to date with our other activities and content. Till next time.